Well, I was talking to Roy tonight before service, and I said, it's going to be a short message tonight. And I was reminded of Brother Donnie Bell one time. We were at a conference, and Brother Donnie said, there's three lies you hear all the time. He said, one is we're here from the government, or we're from the government, we're here to help. And the other was the check's in the mail, and the third is a preacher saying it's going to be a short message tonight. So, turn if you would to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. And I will try not to keep us too long tonight. We're going to be on the last verse. It's amazing how it all fell together. We finished the Glorifying God series this morning. So we're starting a new Sunday school lesson in February as Brother Matt's going to be preaching or teaching next Sunday morning, and then now tonight we're going to finish Psalm 48. So in February, because we don't have any evening service next week, we will start a whole another portion of Scripture, and we'll have to wait and see where it is, because as the Lord leads. Psalm 48, though, let's read the whole psalm. A song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. So we looked at in verse 1 how God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. And we saw that in the city of our God is Zion, which pictures the church. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And we saw the latter part of that verse is the main part we keyed on, the city of the great king. God is known in their palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of tarnish with an east wind. And we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. And in verse 8 there, we looked at how God is the one who has established the church. He's established Zion. It's his work. And he keeps her, and he watches over her. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple, according to thy name, O God. So is thy praise until the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. And that latter part of that verse is where we keyed in verse 10. In verse 9, we looked at the loving kindness of God. But verse 10, we looked at thy right hand is full of righteousness. And we saw how that pictures Christ. That's Christ. He is the right hand of God. He is full of righteousness. Full of righteousness. And in 11 to 13, remember we looked at that last week. That's a survey of the city of Zion and how she's a fortified city, which pictures how we are fortified and protected by our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the towers upon her, and he is the bulwarks. He is our defense, beloved. We are a walled city, a walled city. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. And that's what we do, don't we? We proclaim the gospel to our generation. We proclaim the gospel to our generation. So tonight's verse is going to be verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And so tonight, we will be concluding our study on this wonderful psalm. The Psalm of Zion, the city of God, which, as we've seen through this whole psalm, though, it focuses upon Christ. It focuses upon our great God, our great God. So with this in mind, let us consider verse 14 tonight. And we see what a beautiful conclusion we have here to a triumphant psalm in our text. For this God is our God. That's the very God that's spoken of in the verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now all of God's elect, the generations which have gone before us, and the generations which are upon the earth right now, and if the Lord tarries, the generations which will follow, these words are precious to them. These words are precious to God's sheep. Jesus Christ is God and our Savior right now, and He will be forever. He will be forever. Now let us grasp that word, forever. That there's no end. And see, only God, Brother Neil bought something out today, and I absolutely loved it. On the way out, he stopped, and he said, only God can say the word never and mean it. And think of this forever, too. Only we perish. Right? Upon this earth, we're going to perish. We're now, we who believe are going to be in glory with the Lord forever. But why? Because of Him. Because of what He's done. As I said today, we are recipients of the grace of God in Christ. So Jesus Christ is God and Savior right now for the saints in glory, and He will be forever. Jesus Christ is God and Savior right now for we who believe. We who are living upon this earth, and He will be forever. And Jesus Christ will be manifest to His lost sheep following our generation as the Lord tarries, and He will be their God and their Savior forever. It's wonderful. It crosses time. It crosses generations. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord. We don't make Him Lord. He's already Lord. We bow and acknowledge that He's Lord. We acknowledge His Lordship. And He is God and Savior to every generation of His seed, His elect. Zion. All the elect of God. All the elect of all the ages. A number that no man can number. And He is our God forever and ever. Let's look at our text again. For this God is our God forever and ever. God's people have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. In Psalm 16:2 says this, oh my soul, oh my soul. We cry out like David. If you want to turn there, you can. I'll read the text. Psalm 16, verse 2. And this is a cry of every regenerated believer. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. But this is what we say, thou art my Lord. We acknowledge His Lordship, beloved. O my soul, Psalm 16:2. Thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. So the psalmist is speaking of an affliction which had continued and abode in his soul. And it's true for all the children. We cry, thou art my Lord. Every redeemed, every regenerated child of God cries out, thou art my Lord. And as I said, we don't make him Lord. He's already Lord. There was a whole, years ago, there's a big old thing, just make Jesus Lord of your life. It's too late. God made him so. God made him so. We acknowledge, we bow to His Lordship. We bow, we who believe. And we cry with David, thou art my Lord. Thou art my Lord. We ascribe to Him that which He already is. Before we are saved, we do not ascribe to Him the Lordship of Christ, do we? Not at all. Not at all. We'll shake our fist at Him. Because we didn't believe in Him. But when He reveals Himself to us, we join in fellowship with the saints in one accord, and we worship Him by praising and glorifying His mighty name and crying out, thou art my Lord. Oh. And we who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we remember where we were. We remember how we never said that, how we never acknowledged that. But oh, the Holy Spirit wrought such a change in us, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and we cry out, oh Lord, you're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You're my Lord. I have no hope but Thee. no hope but thee. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 31:14. Psalm 31:14. God's people trust in the Lord. He's our Savior and our Redeemer. He's our surety and our God. Look at 31:14. But I trusted in thee. Who's your trust in? Who's your trust in right now? Is your trust in yourself or is your trust in Christ? Oh, the believer cries out, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. That's, I trusted in thee, Jehovah. Jehovah in the Hebrew. I said, thou art my God. Do you see the change the Holy Spirit wrought in the believer? I have trusted in thee. Every single saint of God is resting and trusting in Christ alone. Eh? That's why I say, who are you trusting? Who are you trusting for your salvation? Oh my. But I've trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. I've trusted in thee, O Jehovah, the one who rules and reigns, the one who has all majesty and power. Thou art my God. Thou art my God. And who is the one who we trust in? Think of this. Jehovah, incarnate in the flesh. Jehovah, God incarnate in the flesh. Oh my. David here before us in Psalm 31:14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. And in these words, he proclaims that he is entirely persuaded of this precious truth that God was his God. God was his God. And he will, by God's grace, not be moved. And it's so with we who believe. We trust in him, in Christ, in him alone. Look at our text again. For this God is our God. For this God is our God forever and ever. So let us look back on situations in our lives and see the presence of the Lord, whether it be in times of ease or whether it be in times of sorrow or whether it be in times of struggle, whether it be in times of sadness, whether it be in times of sickness, whether it be in times of health, we can look back in our lives. Every believer can do this. We can look back in our lives and see God's providential care at work. And now when we're going through it, we don't always see it, do we? But we can look back and see God's providential hand. And we who believe cry out, this God is our God. This God is our God. Forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death. You remember what we looked at today? He'll never, never, not ever forsake us. Calvin says this. May we, as Calvin brought out, say, the marks of his grace engraven wherever we turn ourselves, or rather to recognize him as present in those marks, we look back and see the marks of his sovereign grace in our lives. And we rejoice because our God is an ever-present help, beloved. He's an ever-present help. And this brings great comfort to the saints of God. Our God, for this God is our God forever. Forever. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 46. Two psalms over from where we are. Psalm 46. And I pray this will bring us great comfort and peace. And think of this in light of what we our text. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Look at what's penned here in Psalm 46, verses 1 to 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. That's Zion. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in her midst. Oh, believer, beloved of God, God is in your midst. He's a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved because He is our strength. Eh? He's our strength. He's our rock. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, what a great God we have, beloved. The city mentioned in Psalm 46:4 is Zion, of which our psalm speaks of tonight in our study. And you know it's the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. It's the Lord's mercy that we aren't consumed. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great, great is Thy faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. He watches over us. He's our God forever and ever. Let's go back to our text. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. He, beloved, is the God of His people. And His love to us and care for us is constant, unfailing, unwavering, and unchangeable. Because His love is set upon His people from eternity. From eternity. He has loved us in eternity. He loves us right now. And He will love us forever. My, our love can be wavering, can't it? Not God's. Not God's. And then He will be our guide and protect us even unto death. And then, beloved, here receive us in glory. What a great God. And there we'll be with Him forever. There here be our God forever and ever. Eternity. I don't think we can really fathom that, can we? I can't always wrap my mind around that. But that's what the Scripture declares. For this God is our God forever and ever. But look at the little portion here. He will be our guide even unto death. God, Jehovah, will be our guide. The very one who controls all the universe will be our guide and is our guide. He is our guide. Thy word is what? A light unto our path. He leads us where? Beside still waters. Where do we lie down? In the green pastures of this book right here. Sister Nancy and I was talking today. This is sheep food, beloved. This is clover for God's people, for His sheep. And we feast upon it, don't we? We just feast upon it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful for us. So the one who is absolutely sovereign, think of this. The one who is absolutely sovereign, the one who holds all things together by the word of His power, Scripture declares right here, He will be our God. That's security. And it's not in us, is it? It's in Him. It's in Him. The Lord orders the steps. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 37. The Lord orders the steps of the righteous. He holds them by Thy right hand. And He guides them with His counsel and in judgment. Look at Psalm 37, verses 23 to 26. Look at this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How are we good? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, He shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord will never cast away his people. Never. For the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. Have you ever wondered when you go through some trials and stuff, you wonder, how did I make it through that? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's how you make it through, beloved. That's how we make it through. It's all by his grace and mercy. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken? That ties right in with our verse that we looked at this morning when we closed, Hebrews 13:5. Nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth. And his seed is blessed. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. He'll never forsake his people. Never. Others may forsake us. God will never forsake his people. Never. Never. The Spirit of the Lord leads God's sheep to the fullness of Christ. He guides us into all truth. And where is all that truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what our King said. All truth is in Christ. He directs them. He directs his sheep into his and his Father's love and leads us on to the land of uprightness. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the flock, feeds his people, feeds his sheep. He guides us by the skillfulness of his hands, and he guides our feet in the ways of peace, in the ways of life, in the ways of salvation. By himself, he leads us into green pastures, beside the still waters, and unto the fountain of living water, which is only found in him, only found in Christ. And throughout our life and to our dying, God will graciously lead us. And then we who are redeemed here bring us home to glory. My. But he is our guide even unto death. And here in our text, the people of God are assured that he will be their guide and keeper forever. He's our resurrection in our life, isn't he? Christ is our resurrection in our life. We have no hope outside of him. We were one time, I know me, at one time, and I'm sure it's with you, at one time we trusted in ourselves, didn't we? We trusted in what we could do. We thought, well, I'm not a bad guy. That's how I felt. Until God revealed to me what I was. A sinner in desperate, desperate need of Christ. And the Holy Spirit regenerated me. And I know he did with some of you too. He regenerated. And what did we do? I know I say it all the time. We ran to Christ, didn't we? Oh my. My. He's amazing. And we look back and we see how he cared for us even before we were saved. And we marvel. And then Scripture here tells us he's going to be our guide all the way through our death, even through our death. And he takes us home to glory. And then we behold his face. We see him face to face. Oh my. Our faith will become sight. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be, beloved. And he is our guide. Our guide is the everlasting God. The one who keeps us is the everlasting God. He guides us through this life and through our passing through the Jordan of this life into the Canaan of glory, where we will be in his presence forever. Forever. This God, Jehovah, will be our God to all eternity. And it's by that power which he had already exerted in our protection and our salvation that he will conduct us through this life with safety. By his power, by his majesty, he keeps us. My, what a God. What a Savior. Let's look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 of this psalm. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Great is the Lord. He is so great. We can't even comprehend it. But the psalmist writes, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let us ponder this and meditate this week upon this. For this God is our God forever and ever. And what a portion then is that of the believer in Christ. Think of this, one who owns a parcel of land cannot say of the land that this is mine forever, can he? Because we're going to die, and that land will be willed to someone else or become someone else's property. And it will pass on to someone else. And a king, an earthly king, cannot say of a crown that's upon his head, this is mine forever. Because he's going to die. And his body's going to mix with the dust. And another's going to put that crown on their head. Either an heir or someone who takes over. So they cannot say that it's theirs forever. So the landowner and the king will die one day. And again, their dust will mingle with the earth. But look what our verse here says and see what joy the believer of Christ has in this fact. This fact, beloved. Every believer in Christ can say this. This God is our God forever and ever. Why? Because that precious truth rests in the one who is everlasting. The one who can only say forever. And remember, this is penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Let us marvel at this. This love of God in Christ to His people. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. And it's all that He might show, that God might show the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, that that might be manifest. And we praise His name, don't we? For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. The believer in Christ can say, this glorious God, with all His divine perfections, is my God forever. Forever. And even death cannot separate me from His love. Ponder that. Oh, let us think upon that. Even death cannot separate the believer from the love of the Father. Because then we're in His presence. That's why the texts say, for this God is our God forever and ever. What a beautiful conclusion to such a triumphant psalm. Jesus, who is Zion's God and Savior right now, will be forever in eternity. Our Savior and our Redeemer. That's why the saints cry, worthy is the Lamb. And that'll be our cry forever. He's the one who redeemed us. He's the one who purchased us by His own precious blood on Calvary's cross. The sinless one dying for sinners. The great substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And think, our brothers and sisters of the past, this God is their God forever and ever. And He is our Savior right now. And as the Lord tarries, He will be Savior to His people who will be regenerated and saved following us. And He will be their God just as He is our God forever and ever. What do we say? What a Redeemer. What a Savior is Jesus Christ, my Lord. Ponder this week the mercy of God in Christ toward you who believe. It'll fill your heart with joy. And the believer says, praise His mighty name. Glory to Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee. Oh, with such grateful hearts. There was a time before we were regenerated that we shook our fist at Thee. But You sought us, we who believe. You sought us because You purchased us on Calvary's cross. And now we sing with the psalmist, Thou art my God, Thou art my Lord, forever and ever, based upon nothing in us, but all of what You have done. And we just praise Your name. We just praise Your name. I pray, Lord, too, that You'd be with everyone tonight as they travel home. Oh, Lord, that You give travel mercies. We'll give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.